Thank you. The worship team, as you put your things away, don't put them away too completely. I may ask you to come back at the end after the message. And Sarah, that would be for the song Breathe. Depend on how long it takes me to get done with the message, whether we have time. But there's some things in that song that really tie in that I want to revisit. I think I'm going to turn this down. We're getting a lot of echo. How's that? Is that better? Okay. Got some announcements before we get started here. The donations for the 2020 tax year need to be in the office by the 31st. There's no extensions or anything. So if you want it to be counted on this year, it has to be in this year. The donations for the needy and the games for the game club, the due date for that, the deadline for that has been moved to January the 3rd. So you've got a couple more days to get that stuff into the office. And also the dramatic production by the youth is rescheduled for January the 2nd and the 3rd. That was supposed to be Christmas Eve, but didn't happen. So January the 2nd and the 3rd, please. There's some contacts in the bulletin that you need to contact if you are planning to come. It's kind of a reservation sort of thing. They need to plan the seating to allow plenty of social distancing. So if you're planning to come, you need to let them know and look in the bulletin. There's a couple of different places you can contact. And then Sunday evening, January the 24th, from 7 to 8 p.m. is our members meeting. So if you're a member, please come to that. We'll be discussing the transition in the eldership, and we will be looking at the vision for the upcoming year. Okay. For the word this morning, this is part 11 and the last of my series on the gifts. We started back in February of 2019, and I've been preaching approximately once every 8 weeks, so it's been kind of spread out, and we've had a hard time remembering what happened from one time to the next, and so I'm going to give you a little review this morning. And the first list we considered was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, which is a list of gifts that are called spiritual gifts. That's word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are given to us in a specific sort of way. The wording is very specific. There's two purposes stated for these gifts. One is to manifest the Spirit, which is to make His presence known in the moment. And the other is to profit the body of Christ. Because of the purpose of manifesting the Spirit, these are supernatural gifts, not natural. And because of that special function, I believe this is an exhaustive list. We don't add to that list. For that purpose, that's all there is that list. And all of these gifts spring from our relationship or our communion with the Lord, the time we spend in His presence. They're all based on perceiving something in the Spirit and responding in faith. That's the first list we considered. We spent 5 sermons going through that, looking at each of the items individually. This podium is sitting on a rug because we've got cords running under it for the camera, and so it wobbles. It's bothering me. But allow me a parenthetical right here before I go on to the next list, because I feel remiss that I may not have communicated clearly the most important point of all of these messages, all 11 messages. Repeatedly throughout the series, and just a moment ago, I said that all of these gifts spring from our relationship with the Lord. And I made an assumption, and based on my own spiritual upbringing, I assumed that we all knew what that meant, what our relationship with the Lord meant. But we didn't all come from the same background. And there may be folks listening who hear that, the expression, our relationship with the Lord, and they're not hearing the same thing. When I say our relationship with the Lord, I'm talking about our communion, an intimate relationship, the time we spend interacting with the Lord. Prayer can be a part of this, but only when we understand that prayer is two-way, that we listen to Him as much as we talk to Him. If we only understand prayer as being, I'm talking to God, then you're not getting that part of it. Bible study can be part of this, but only if we are understanding that we are listening to Him speak to us through the text that we're reading and letting Him apply it to us individually now, not just analyzing text and meanings and things like that. Some people from some church backgrounds may hear the words, our relationship with God, and be thinking religious fervor or our legal right standing with God. And that's part of it, okay? Let me give you an example. My relationship with my father is that I'm his son. That's a fact. That's my legal standing, and it's a biological fact. That would be true if my father had been an absentee father, that would still be true. I would still be his son. However, my father and I spent time living together and doing things together. So our relationship is closer than it would be if I had an absentee father. Now, my father and I don't live in the same state any longer. But if we had continued to live close together and continued to do things together, and I had continued to spend a lot of time in his presence, our relationship would be even closer than it is now. There are things that I do in my life that spring from that relationship that I have with my father. The way that I respond to things, the way that I do things, those spring forth from that relationship. In the same way, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, the things that we do spring forth from that relationship. How close is it? Is he to you an absentee father that you may send a message to? You send up a prayer and assume he hears? Or is it a relationship that's two-way, that you talk to him, you listen to him, you hear him? Now, some may have heard the words that I said, spending time in his manifest presence, and that didn't mean anything at all, because there was no understanding of what his manifest presence is. Because some may be thinking, well, God's presence is everywhere, all the time. And that's true. His presence is everywhere all the time. And we can always pray to him and assume that he hears us, because he does. But we are not always aware of his presence. When he reveals himself to us, when he manifests his presence to us, when we become aware of his presence, that's what I'm talking about when I say his manifest presence. And when that happens, our relationship becomes two-way, because now we are receiving, able to receive from him, because we are aware of his presence. We are aware that he is speaking to us. We are aware that he is doing things around us and to us and in us and through us. And so it becomes a two-way relationship. We need to feel God's presence. And I know that some people are going to say, "Oh, that sounds touchy-feely. You can't live on touchy-feely." And I say, you can't live without it either. You must feel things. If all you have is an intellectual relationship with God, that's dead religion. So then, functioning in any of the gifts that we spoke of, walking in victory in our Christian life, having power in our life, being overcomers, or whatever other catchphrase your church background may have taught you to expect from the Christian life, all of that happens as we walk in his manifest presence, as we commune with him. All of that springs forth from communing with the Lord. I came from a church background that talked a lot about being overcomers or having victory in your life, okay? And if all you had is study the scripture, memorize the scripture, send up one-way prayers, it never happened. It's when you started to receive things from the Lord that things changed. Now, you may remember from the very beginning of this series, if you were here then, that we talked about how the filling of the Spirit is a repeated, ongoing thing. It's a distinct, it's not the same as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is what you get when you're saved, when the Spirit of Jesus comes inside your heart and transforms you, okay? That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that happens over and over and over, or can happen over and over and over. We looked at examples through Scripture to show that. And it's this filling of the Spirit that brings all of these things. It brings the ability to function in these gifts, that brings this communion with the Lord, that brings all of this stuff. And we're missing out on God's best if we don't experience that on a regular basis. If you've never been aware of being filled with His Holy Spirit, if you've never been aware of that happening, let me encourage you to seek after that. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Go to people that you know that are filled with the Spirit and ask them to pray with you. Seek after it desperately. Okay, thus endeth the parenthetical. The second list we looked at is Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8. And that's the list we find of gifts that are given by God the Father as a part of how he created us. It's how we function, what makes us tick. their natural aptitudes, if you will, their expressions of his creativity in us, which he then empowers and enriches and transforms as we walk in the Spirit. Listed in that list are prophecy, and you'll have to go back and listen to it if you wonder how is prophecy a natural aptitude. You'll have to go back and listen to that message. I'm not going to go over that again now, but the rest of it's not so confusing. Ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and showing mercy. These are given to us in a general sort of way. I don't believe that list is an exhaustive list. We find other things that we can add to that, that still the principles that are given in that still apply. But they're all to be exercised with our whole heart for God's glory and empowered by the Spirit and transformed as we move forward. Okay, the third list we looked at was Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. And that's a list of gifts given by Christ to his church. Listed, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And this is another list given to us in a specific sense. The purpose of the gifts is stated, it's explained. This list is unique in that they're not supernatural abilities. They're not natural aptitudes. These gifts are people. They're people given to the church for the benefit of the church, for the stated purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. I called those ministry gifts, just to kind of put a little handle on them that you can hang on to. Then the fourth place we find a list of gifts given is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 27 through 31. Now this list is where we'll be today. It's a mixture of the other three lists. Some are general, some are specific, some are functions, some are people. It's in the middle of a lengthy discussion on the unity of the body and how each member is important. And this list specifically ranks the gifts in order of functional importance or priority in the church. It gives five ranks, and it puts eight gifts into those five categories. The first four are listed as one gift per category. So we have apostles. It says first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then, and it gets in the fifth rank, it starts listing a bunch of things. Then, healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. I believe that fifth category is representative of all the other gifts that aren't listed. So we'll get into that. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read the whole passage because really what we need to do for today's message is look not so much at the individual one verse that has the list of gifts in it, but we need to look at the context, the whole context, and we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. So I'm not going to read all of that. I want you to follow along, so hopefully you've got your Bibles out. And I brought my paper Bible today. Normally you see me up here with a tablet, but I can't see as much on the page at once. And I needed to be able to look at broad things. So you'll notice that chapter 12 starts with the first list that we addressed. We read that first passage, 1 through 11, was the passage on the spiritual gifts. And then it goes into this passage from 12 through 26, talking about the unity and the diversity in the body. This is the passage that's the, if the hand should say, I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body, or because I'm not an eye, I'm not any less a part of the body. Well, how the body, all the parts are important. All we feel the pain of each part. If one part is in pain, we all feel the pain. If one part is rejoices, we all rejoice. This is the unity of the body. But it started with the discussion on the gifts. And then in verse 27 is the passage that we're looking at today. I'll read that piece. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. And then it goes into chapter 13, which we are told is the love chapter, which is fair. There's three verses in there that are really beautiful that we put on plaques and you recite at weddings. But if you look at the whole chapter, you realize that most of the chapter is actually talking about gifts and how the gifts need to be exercised in love. And if you look at the context that chapter 13 is smashed in between chapter 12 and 14, and chapter 12 is about the gifts, and chapter 14 is about the gifts, you realize that this is still a discussion on the gifts. Chapter 14 continues again with this discussion on the gifts. Let's look at verse 1 there. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then it goes on to discuss the priority of prophecy over tongues and why prophecy is more important than tongues and how it's more beneficial to the body. Down in verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. And that's the key right there, that the church may receive edification. That's the whole point of chapter 14. That whole discussion on the proper use of the gifts, proper order in church meetings, the whole chapter is talking about all of these things that the church may receive edification. That's the whole point. And so when we go back and we look at the gifts there at the end of chapter 12, in verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. And you ask yourself, why? Why, in the midst of telling us how united the body is and how all the members are this, each one is important and each one feels the pain of the others, why is he now switching gears and giving us this hierarchy of this is more important than this, than this, in this nice, tidy little ranking like that. And to answer that, you have to ask, what is the criteria to evaluate those that places them in that ranking? And that's what we just now saw in chapter 14, that the church may receive edification. It's the value of edification to the church that's the key to that. Now, a couple of the reasons why I said that I thought that that fifth category that listed out the others was kind of an inclusive or a sample list for the rest of the gifts that are included, that aren't listed. One, you'll notice just from the grammar of the sentence in verse 28, it's very obvious to start out with first apostles, second prophets, like that. But when you get down, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, and there's no more of those ordinal words in there giving us first, second, third, next sort of thing. It's just a list. That's one reason. The other reason is if you go to the next verse in verse 29, he starts elaborating on what he just said, and he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? And in that list, he leaves out, it's not the same list. Let's see, so I don't have to resort it out. But he leaves out some and he adds others in that fifth category. I'm not following my notes closely, so I lost my spot. Yeah, he leaves out helps and administrations and adds interpretation of tongues. So he's not being real precise in his list in that last part because it's a sample of a whole bunch of things. It's a sample of it all. I don't want to try to take you through my ideas why apostles are first and prophets are second and teachers are third. That's not really clearly stated for us. What we do have is the criteria by which they're chosen. And we have a couple of other, we also have the we have a couple of things we can think about here as we approach this. And this is where I want to leave you with this. One is that we must trust God and His Word. He gave it to us. He told us this is the order of priority. And so even if we don't understand it, we're better off to embrace it and try to live by it, even if we don't understand it. Number two, we do have the criteria by which they're selected. We do have other scriptures that talk about what are these gifts. We can go look at what is an apostle, what is a prophet, what is a teacher. We can kind of sit before the Lord and listen to Him and study the scriptures and see if He'll lead us to the answer of why they're ones more in that particular order. And that would be a nice exercise in learning, practicing two-way communication with the Lord through Bible study. And so I want to leave you with this bait to go pursue something. If the worship team could begin to move back up here. Because what I want to leave you with here is, as we end this series on the gifts, let's let it be the start of a renewed search for intimacy with the Lord. A renewed search for communion with Him. A renewed search for hearing His voice. Because that's what the Christian life is all about. That's what we need the most, is to interact with Him. He chose us. He adopted us as His children. He called us to Himself. He cleansed us from our sins so that we could come into His presence. If He hadn't cleansed us from our sins and we tried coming into His presence, we would be burned up. But because He's done all those things, we have the privilege of coming before Him. And so, as a benediction, I want to go back through that song, Breathe, and let this be your prayer to start to seek the Lord's face, to cry out to Him, because that's what we need the most. Amen. Go in peace.